Hello everyone, this is Akila, your training partner in UGC English Preparation. In this audio lecture, I'm going to discuss about Philip Larkin. So let's get started with today's audio lecture. Before we move on to the details of Philip Larkin, let's discuss about the poetry of the 50s. That is the poets in the period of 1950s to 1960s. This group of poets belonged to a group called Movement Poetry. And the term movement poetry was first coined by J.D. Scott, J.A.Y.S.E.O.T.T., J.D. Scott, in 1954. And he refers to a group of writers including Philip Larkin, Kingsley Amis, Thomas Kuhn, Elizabeth Jennings, Robert Conquest, John Wayne, Donald Day, and D.J. Enright. There are two anthologies for this movement poetry. The first one is Poets of the 1950s, edited by D.J. Enright, E-N-R-I-G-H-T. And the second anthology is New Lines, edited by Robert Conquest. There are four features for this movement poetry. That is, these poets purposefully, they escape from the influences of Imagist and the Neo-Romantic Symbolist poets. That is, their tone and style is anti-romantic in nature. Irony and understatement became their leading vehicles of self-expression. They never seek to make any grandiloquent claims regarding the superiority of poet's role in the creative evolution of a literary work. Now let's move on to the details of Philip Larkin. The full name of Philip Larkin is Philip Arthur Larkin, 1922 to 1985. He was named after the famous poet Philip Sidney. Graduated from Oxford University, he made friends with Kingsley Amis, who helped him to understand and fulfill his literary objectives. As a poet, he was associated with the Movement School of Poetry, and he was a strong follower of Thomas Hardy. His poetry is characterized by pessimistic strain. He edited the Oxford Book of 20th Century English Verse, 1973. The Oxford Book of 20th Century English Verse 1973 is a poetry anthology, and the volume contains the works of 207 poets. He praised Thomas Hardy in the preface. He rejects the poetry of Yeats and Dylan Thomas, and he was a great lover of jazz music, and he was working as a jazz critic with the Daily Telegraph from 1961 to 1971. He received Queen's Gold Medal for poetry. He was offered the position of Poet Laureate several times following the death of Sir John Betjeman. So what is now Philip Larkin's style? His shy and recursive nature is reflected in his works. The poem reflects the influences of Thomas Hardy. His poetry is not crowded with technical devices. Often employs a colloquial tone, one that mirrors the cadences of ordinary speech. That is, he often employs a colloquial tone, that is, a ordinary speech. His characters are also drawn from real life. So now let's move on to the major works. His first book of poetry, The North Ship, was published in the year 1945, followed by two novels, Jill, 1946, and A Girl in Winter, 1947. Jill, J-I-L-L. The novel is set in a wartime Oxford, and the protagonist here is John Kemp, and he is a person from Lancashire, and he got attracted to the lifestyle of Christopher Warner in the university. So he created an eponymous Jill as an imaginary sister so that he can confirm Christopher Warner. But actually, John Kemp discovers a girl named Gillian, G-I-L-L-I-A-N, with whom he fell in love. The novel focuses on innocent hero and how he faces the grim reality of world. The next novel, A Girl in the Winter, it's all about the protagonist, Catherine Lind, who was working as a library assistant. One day, she has to leave the job to look after a colleague, and the novel goes on only for 12-hour period. And during this 12-hour period, how her mind changes and how her love changes from Robin to the colleague. The next poetry collection is The Less Deceived, which was published in 1955. Under the poetry collection Less Deceived, there are a number of very famous poems. So now let's start with the very first poem, I Remember, I Remember. The title of the poem is an ironic reference to Thomas Hood's poem, Past and Present. That is, in Thomas Hood's poem, he was able to remember the past and present and he glorifies his childhood. But in case of Philip Larkin, he believed that childhood is remembered as one bleak period when nothing, just nothing, seemed to have happened. The second poem in this collection is Church Going. The speaker decides to visit a church on a random impulse. He was not spiritually motivated. However, as the poem progresses, this casual disregard for religion and conventions give way to a more serious questioning of the ideals that bind human life. That is, finally, he was able to understand the true meaning of the existence of religion. The poem thus travels full circle from disbelief to a renewed acknowledgement of the uniqueness of human faith. The few famous lines in this poem are, "A serious house on a serious earth it is, in whose blent air all our compulsions meet are recognized and dropped as destinies." The third poem in this collection is Going and Going. It is an evocative poem that mourns the death of, that mourns the destruction of England's beautiful landscapes. The fourth poem in this collection is At Grass, and it is a perfect example of moment poem. And in this poem, Philip Larkin closely scrutinizes life and death. The poem is all about a horse. When young, the horses have enjoyed glorious times, but now in the old age, there is no one to prize the power of horse in racing. Unlike human beings, these horses are not nostalgic about the world of glory left behind and just takes on its life as usual. The fifth poem in this collection is Toads, T-O-A-D-S. Philip Larkin is of opinion that common man does not go about killing dragons. He leads a quiet and uneventful life. Once again, he presents himself as a workaday, middle-class man who has few interesting experiences either to recall or to anticipate. The poem is an anti-romantic stance. He has to work like a toad for 6 days in a week, yet he ends up concluding that work is probably something he is well suited to and he wouldn't want to be one of those people who live without it. So, why? Because the poet himself is like a toad. The opening lines of this famous poem is, "Why should I let the toad work squat on my life?" The sixth poem in this collection is Toads Revisited. He wrote this poem 8 years after the poem Toad. He changes his opinion on toad work, and now in Toads Revisited, he retracts this theme of hard labor. That is, he acknowledges the theme of hard labor. As for himself, given a choice, he would like to opt for a regular routine life. The idea that Larkin tries to present is that life can be meaningful even if it is not spectacular. This is the end of the poetry collection, The Less Deceived, which was recognized as one of the outstanding collections of the year. The next popular poetry collection of Philip Larkin is The Whitsun Weddings, 1964. Whitsun, Whitsun Weddings. It has a 32 poem in this collection and it contains some of Larkin's best known poems, The Whitsun Weddings, Mr. Blini, 1914, and An Arundel Tomb. First, let's start with The Whitsun Weddings. The poem is about poet's train journey from Hull to London. Whitsun Day is famous for lower economic class wedding as there is no marriage tax on this day. So in the beginning, the poet seems to be showing a kind of hatred for marriage or the newly married couples. But towards the end of the poem, the poet realizes the importance of marriage. He realizes that marriage to fertility and thus to continuity of human race. So in the end of the poem, he acknowledges marriage. The next poem is Mr. Blini, which contains autobiographical elements. Now the poet is lodging in a room that was once belonged to a man called Mr. Blini. He observes the bare furnishings. He draws intimate conclusions about the former lodger. The third poem is 1914. It describes a doomsday where more than 1,000 years of England legacy is destroyed. The poet muses on a photograph of volunteers lining up to enlist to fight in the world wars. The poem ends with the famous line, "Never such innocence again." The next poem is An Arundel Tomb. This poem explores the themes of mortality and inevitable passage of time. The poem is said to be inspired from Larkin's visit to the tomb of Earl of Arundel. The next poem is Ambulances. It explores the pervading sense of death. Ambulances follows the route of an ambulance through rush hours in the city, charting its course and its meaning. That is, ambulance in the busy city roads constantly reminds us of the death, of the impending death. Then Talking in Bed, two lovers lying in bed together, and then draws from this small specific scene in order to meditate on bigger and more existential questions. Then Faith Healing. Faith Healing is also a poem in this collection of Wits and Biddings. This poem describes watching the women who queued to be blessed by an American faith healer. Philip Larkin wonders what motivates people to need faith healing. He concludes that within everyone is a sense of life that they could have lived if they had loved more. The third poetry collection of Philip Larkin is High Windows. This collection of poems was published in the year 1974. The collection is the last publication of new poetry by Larkin before his death in 1985, and it contains some of his famous poems like High Windows, Sad Steps, Dubliness, and This Be the Worst, Old Fools. While The Old Fools deals with aging and death, This Be the Worst is a lyric poem and it is one of the Larkin's best known poems. And Larkin himself compared it with W.B. Yeats' Lake Isle of Inisherin. Then Sad Steps. Larkin was in his mid-40s when he wrote Sad Steps. The poem analyzes and explores the poet's awareness of middle age and the loss of his youth. The title is taken from another poem of Sir Philip Sidney, that is Astrophil and Stella. The loss of youth is much appreciated when it is lost and remembered during old age. The next poem is Annus Mirabilis, Annus Mirabilis. Annus Mirabilis is an ironic statement about the sexual revolution as it got underway in England before invading America. The title is from John Dryden's poem, and John Dryden's poem of 1667 describes about Dutch naval war and the Great Fire of London. But here in Annus Mirabilis, he is talking about the sexual revolution by mentioning about works like Lady Chatterley's Lover, The Beatles' first LP. All these books are is known for explicit sexual content and was banned, but now released showing there is a greater shift in understanding about sex in the society. The next poem is The Explosion, once again included in the collection. 1974 collection, High Windows. It takes, as it seems, an underground explosion in a coal mine. The last collected poems, that is the posthumous collection of Philip Larkin, is collected poems, and it contains some of the famous poems like Obade and Party Politics. Obade, A-U-B-A-D-E. Obade, the term is from French, which means a song or poem in praise of the dawn, but Philip Larkin's Obade is somewhat different. His poem muses about death and specifically the poet's own growing sense of his mortality. Thus, we come to the end of Philip Larkin's lecture. Now, let's look into the questions which was asked in the previous exams. The first one, in which of Philip Larkin's poem does he refers to long uneven lines of men waiting to be enlisted for the war? Never such innocence again. That's a conclusion of the poem. So the answer is 1914. The second question is, which of the following volumes of poetry by Philip Larkin was his first? That is, the question is asking for the first volume of poetry by Philip Larkin, and the correct answer is The North Ship. The third question, Philip Larkin's The Wits and Weddings describes A long train journey establishes a wee voice of collective outlook, traces the disfigurement of a sunny landscape on an advertising poster, gives an account of the drug pusher. The correct combination according to the coders. So they're asking us to choose options from the given four, and the correct answers are 1 and 2. That is, the Wits and Buildings describes a long train journey, that is correct. And the second option is establishes a V voice of collective outlook. These two are the correct answers for this question. The fourth question asked was, Philip Larkin belongs to the loose group of writers known as, and the correct answer is New Generation Poets. The fifth question is, in his introduction to the Oxford Book of 20th Century English Verse, Philip Larkin underlines the importance of a native tradition with Dash seen as a major poet of the modern period. The correct answer is Thomas Hardy. The sixth question is, who is a moment poet? And of course, the correct answer is Philip Larkin. This is the end of the audio lecture. All right, now you have a lot of information to observe. So feel free to replay this audio clip to get thorough with the topics. Stay motivated and have fun learning English literature. This is Akila signing off. Until the next audio lecture, goodbye.